Good morning, Brian Mazeroski and Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. What would your mindset be? Try to put yourself in the mindset of a Delta Airlines customer today who's still delayed.
Yeah, I mean, already annoyed regardless. And then if I'm like stuck in the Atlanta airport, probably the busiest, most annoying airport in America, which a lot of Delta flights go through. Yeah, it's not a pretty picture. I mean, by now, are you looking at another airline?
So this is like the question. How do you handle these situations? 8030930, and like any travel nightmare you've had, like what's your worst travel nightmare? 8030930 to hear about it because share it with us. Because I was kind of thinking this, you know, through this past week. Like I thought mine was a travel nightmare. Like I basically delayed getting in for an entire day of where I was supposed to be. And I didn't know if I was going to make it because of the, you know, all the tech outage and everything. But you start to look and like wonder what you're going to do. So I was going for a weekend and it's like, okay, the Friday, if I don't make it out Friday, well, I'm just going home. You know, like I've already, you know, missed 2 days at that point of where I was supposed to be. I'm just going to go home. There's no point in waiting another day and then
just for a night.
Yeah, I'm just going to fly in just to fly out. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, thank you. But you start looking at the other airlines and like, what do you, you know, you're not, you could get maybe a refund on your ticket, but then it would be a super expensive, you know, to buy the day of a plane ticket. Anywhere day of is you're going to be out maybe hundreds of dollars. Like, what do you do in that situation? How do you start to look at it?
I mean, if you're at home, I think you just face reality. This trip isn't going to happen. I'm going back home. Like, I'm getting
at home is the best place to be for this to happen.
Yeah. Like, hopefully, after this all gets straightened out, I get a few flight credits, right, from Delta, at least get my money back.
But because you'd be so eager to fly on Delta again.
Well,
yeah, right.
That's a good point. if you're, you know, stuck somewhere, like I think by now you've either looked at another flight or you've rented a car. You're right, because a day of flight ticket, Brian, for a lot of us is that's more expensive than our emergency fund.
How far can you rent a car and drive? Like, I know we've talked about this before and you would drive like crazy amounts, but
the window gets bigger for this.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, what's like if you're in Florida and you still like can't make it back home to Buffalo, are you just... The other thing is, like, everyone's trying to do that, right?
Everyone's doing the same thing.
So there's probably not a car available.
So there's... that's another issue. I mean, you've got a lot of... You got a lot of options you got to look at, right? I mean, what's your last option? For me, the last option is jumping on the Amtrak. That would be my absolute last option.
I wouldn't even think of that.
That would be my absolute last option.
That might be your best option, though.
At this point, yes. But if we're talking about a incident that's not as widespread... The Amtrak's the last thing I think about, right? I go rental car first. I go, hey, is Allegiant flying today? Maybe I can get a last minute ticket there because they're so cheap.
But you try and hold on to your original plan as much as possible, right? Especially if you checked a bag.
Oh, so and you're in your layover city?
You're in your layover city or wherever. If you checked a bag, now you're also thinking like, well, how do I ever get this back?
Yeah. Did you see the video of one? I don't know what airport it was, of a baggage corral outside. You know how every airline has their little shop or holding place outside the Delta place? It was literally from the Delta. Inside was packed all the way to the first baggage corral, just taking over the entire floor of Delta bags that haven't been claimed yet.
It's like the thing that I was thinking about this as I was heading out last week, is if I had checked a bag, I would have no stuff.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, how my flight got changed, you know, where that was. And then the next day, you know, if maybe I did check a bag, maybe, you know, it got to where it was supposed to be. You wouldn't be able to change your plans because you kind of have to stick with
to go get your bag.
Yeah, to go with wherever your bag is. And then how do you get it back? Like, all these things, it just becomes this huge mess.
And by the way, you got stuck in one of the busiest airports. It's not like you got stuck in some small dinky airport.
Yeah.
You got stuck in the nation's capital.
I wish I would have known. I would have seen the sights a little bit or something like
That's
that.
Right.
What's your biggest travel nightmare? Dave in Lakeview, you're on WBEN. How's it going, Dave?
Great. Good morning, fellas. So about 5 years ago, we had planned a surprise Disney trip for the kids and whatnot. And we were supposed to leave like on a Tuesday or something like this, and this was in February. And that night, a ice storm was coming in. And the flight that we were supposed to be getting on to leave Buffalo was coming from Baltimore. And that plane would not fly into the Buffalo airport because of the ice storm. So at 10 o'clock at night, they canceled my flight. And we were supposed to leave Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. So we ended up scrambling last minute and driving out to Rochester to catch a flight from Rochester to Florida. And we had to drive through the ice storm and everything else, and that was an absolute total nightmare.
That sounds rough. I mean, that's bad. But and it's also like weather too, where the weather though you at least understand, right? No one wants to fly in the ice storm,
right?
Absolutely.
No, it kind of makes sense. Dave, thanks so much. 803-0930, your worst travel nightmare story. Like, that's the thing. Like, there are certain delays where it's like, you know, this is terrible, but I kind of get it, right? Like the ice storm thing.
The ice storm, yes. I mean, please don't risk it. I'm completely understand. But then you have the ones that you ever had a delay that you never got the answer?
Oh. Or a delay where they're like, maybe they don't explain everything, but two of my last flights were this way. A few weeks ago when I was supposed to be home at, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock on a Sunday night. I ended up getting home at like 2 a.m. on Monday, delayed. It was something like, oh, well, you know, here we are. We're just a little late pushing out. Oh, we got to, you know, they diverted the flight path, so we have to taxi over to another runway. So they're driving. I mean, we're driving this plane. We could have drove to Buffalo in the plane, but you know, we're driving all around the airport. And then we got to the runway and it's like, well, you know, we're waiting here. We drove all this way and we've been waiting for a little longer. We're going to have to go and refuel. And so they go and refuel the plane, and then some storm blows in. Like, oh, well, no one's allowed to work in the rain out here, so we're going to have to wait a little longer to get the fuel on.
Oh, geez.
And then, you know, okay, now we're just waiting for our crew to go, but the crew is about to time out. So we're going to have to find a new crew. Everyone's going to have to get off the plane after a couple hours. We're going to have to find a new crew to come in here, and hopefully we can get you out later. Like, it was just this series of, like, what's going on that you're just like, what the heck? Like, all of a sudden, this one little thing. And I'm not going to make it home tonight? Like, that's insane. And that this last one that I had on was, oh, you know, we just have to fill out some paperwork. Did some routine maintenance to the engine. Oh, we're still waiting on that. Oh, everyone get off the plane and, you know, we'll leave soon. Like, those are the kind of things that just drive you nuts.
Going to a tech game, I mean, this is probably a decade ago. We were supposed to go one route. We get on the plane. So, you know, I'm on the plane, Brian. I'm relaxed. I got my headphones in. I'm ready to take my nap. I'm feeling great. We get on the runway. This is here in Buffalo. And the pilot says, yeah, we just detected an issue with the plane. We can't take off. Get off the plane. And they're telling you, this flight's not happening. We cannot fly this plane. This flight's not happening. We're going to have to refly all of you. Put us on a different airline, which that's how you know it's a big deal. Now we're going through Boston. You're originally going through JFK. Going through Boston. 6.5-hour layover in Boston on this flight that we were never planning to take. So we were planning to be at our destination long before the flight would take off in Boston. Finally got to our destination, which, you know, you don't fly into the Blacksburg Airport. Had to rent a car and then drive up. That's one that sticks with me. Another one, going to the beach one summer. Was supposed to fly out of Wilmington, North Carolina. That got delayed. I don't remember the specifics of why that got delayed. They ended up, the airline, driving us to Raleigh to fly from Raleigh to Charlotte, the dumbest flight to ever exist, and then Charlotte home. And that delayed us a few hours as well. I mean, those are the ones where, like, you're on the plane. You're ready to go. And not only are you off that plane, you're taking a completely different route, and you're going to get to your destination 12 hours later.
Yeah. I mean, it's brutal. I've gotten to the point where I don't trust it until we're actually in the air.
Yeah.
Getting on the plane means nothing to me anymore.
But even that, I've told the story about how the plane had to go around a storm over D.C. once, flying back from Washington. I land in LaGuardia as the flight to Buffalo is taking off. Then I see the flight to Rochester. I go up to the counter, and the woman at the counter goes, "Oh, yeah, this is only half full. We can get you on that plane." But while she's, quote, putting me on the plane, they close the door. Oh, we can't reopen the door. Sorry. Guess we can't get you on that one.
What a rule that is. Why?
No idea.
Is that the most insane rule that there is at an airport?
The magic door.
That and the water bottle. Like, I can't bring in water. You know, like, give me a break. I'll drink. Oh, you know, we're going to have to throw this. I'll drink it right in front of you.
Right. Like I will show you this is water.
Yeah. That's what's going on here. The door thing, I just don't get. Once this is closed, we cannot reopen it. I bet you can.
Even though I've seen an agent reopen it to run something out to the plane. Yeah. I have seen that before.
Like, you have a key. It's not literally impossible. What's going to happen if you reopen the door?
And the worst thing about that is I'd already called my parents to come to Rochester to pick me up. Like, this was back when I was bow release call screener. So I thought I was going to be working the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had a call at midnight. Hey, can't make it. I was fine. The plane's right there. Hey,
yeah.
I believe my parents had already gotten in the car and started heading down the 90 to pick me up in Rochester just for them to close that door. And she's still typing like, oh, I guess I can't. You didn't tell someone, hey, we got one more passenger.
Yeah.
No, couldn't do that.
When I was in, they almost closed the door on me trying to get to D.C. When I was in D.C. and trying to, you know, in the middle of all this on Friday, and the plane was not there when I got to the gate. I was like, oh, this is not good.
No.
But it gave me hope because I was in D.C. The plane was in Norfolk, Virginia. It's in like the same state. All it has to do is get over here. And waiting hours and hours and hours. And it got to the point where it's like, could you not have driven the plane over here? Like, put that thing on the freeway and just drive. You would have made it here quicker than the way you got here now.
With the wide load banner in front of it.
Yeah, get a couple trucks to lead the way, and you would have been okay.
Yeah, would have gotten there.
It would have gotten there way faster.
Faster than flying.
Your nightmares traveling on the text board, 803-0930, if you want to share it here on WBEN, as people are still delayed, still missing luggage. Especially if you fly on Delta Airlines, 1,200 or 1,300 I saw yesterday delayed, another 500 canceled. Somebody saying this past May, someone texted this in, our plane got delayed 3 times in Chicago, where they're 15 hours. Mm. Oh, my goodness. They were able to squeeze a flight into Cleveland at 1 a.m., rented a hotel for 3 hours, woke up, rented a car, and drove back home. I would have slept for more than 3 hours, but aside from that, that's you do what you have to do.
I mean, the other thing about delays, obviously what people are going through now is worse than anything I can relate to, but the delays, Brian, I talked about this when I got back from Los Angeles. These airports, even in major cities, you're closing down things inside the airport at 9, 10 o'clock. Like, I was delayed at Midway in Chicago. It's a pretty busy airport.
Mm-hmm.
And we were delayed it ended up being over an hour. Everything's closed. Now, not that I was going to go buy anything because I'm cheap, but I was just surprised. Nothing's open. So you don't have these extra places for people to sit. So now you just have, people sitting at gates that don't even have planes because there's nowhere else to put these people. And that's one thing I can't understand is in the big cities. I get it in Buffalo. It's Buffalo. But in these big cities, like things closing down at 9:30 in Chicago on a Friday at an airport when almost every gate has a plane waiting to take off. Then, not landing in L.A. till almost 3 o'clock. That kind of stuff. That's the kind of thing that does put a damper on your weekend because now I'm not getting to my hotel till 4. So now my Saturday is going to be mostly me sleeping.
Takes a bite out of your vacation.
It does.
A big one. 803-0930. We'll go to Bob on WBEM. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, guys. My wife and I flew home from a business conference out in Napa, California about 6-7 years ago. It was the day that we were flying Southwest, and it was the day that Southwest computers went down worldwide. So we got to Oakland. It was a mess there. We finally got on the plane, and about an hour out of Midway, the pilot comes on the horn and says, "Well, folks, more bad news. They're diverting us to St. Louis. Because if we land in Midway, there's no place to park the plane because everything backed up because of the computers being down. So we sat on the ground in St. Louis for about 2 hours, then finally flew to Midway. We got into Midway about 11 o'clock at night, and we literally stood in line the rest of the night to get rebooked on a flight to Buffalo. And the first line we were standing in was right at the end of one of those walkways. So we stood there for hours listening to, caution, the walkway is coming to an end. Caution, the walkway is coming to an end. I was about ready to punch the speaker out of the ceiling.
Bob, when you hear the one thing, you know, hey, we can't land here. There's nowhere to park the plane. I mean, is that when you get up and say, like, look, I'm not a pilot or anything, but I can park a car. I bet you I can find a space.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, what they told us then was, they said your best bet is to find the gate where the next flight to Buffalo is going in the morning. Go wait there. That's your best chance to get rebooked. So we did. So we're standing in line the rest of the night, and there was a southwest gate across the hall from us with a bunch of people. Well, about 6 o'clock in the morning, people were starting to arrive at the airport that were flying out that morning, not realizing what was going on. And this girl comes out from the other gate, and she makes an announcement. She says, folks, she goes, could you please let our preferred customers come to the front of the line so we could serve them first? I mean, there was almost a riot. F-bombs and everything. They had to call a manager out to calm everybody down.
Oh, Bob. I mean, you know what the one thing is? You make me feel a lot better about some of my delays I've had.
Well, so, on this flight, there were three families that were flying to South Carolina for a wedding, and between the three of them, they had about 8 kids.
Oh.
And only one of them was over 10 years old. So, I mean, it was nuts. I mean, the one baby was crawling around on the floor of the plane eating crumbs off the floor. Another baby filled its pants about halfway to Midway, and she never changed them until we landed in St. Louis. I mean, it was like, get me off this.
Make a movie about this.
Oh, it was crazy. It was the worst flight I've ever been on.
Hey, Bob, thanks for the call. Love to hear it.
You know, landing in St. Louis and not getting off the plane, sitting on the plane for 2 hours, you know, they turn the plane off. Like, there goes your air conditioning. And those planes, when they're full and they're not on, they get hot.
Yeah.
Oof.
Getting home is when, like, the car becomes very attractive.
Yeah.
If you're anywhere closer than Chicago and it's like, you know, hours and hours delayed or a next day or something like that, and you have to get home, you start to look at, like, oh, the car.
Including Chicago.
How far away is that?
I did that drive. I've done that drive twice. I think it's only 10 hours. I went to a wedding in Chicago where I went from Buffalo to Blacksburg for a tech game, then Blacksburg to Chicago, Chicago to Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, again, you're not normal
and
when
like
it comes
I think,
to traveling.
And like I said, I think the longer that delay gets, the wider your car window goes.
But yes, for getting home.
Yeah, for getting
home. For going to your destination,
no.
The car is never an attractive option.
No, I think if you're home and it gets more and more, you're just saying, hey, we're scrapping this trip.
Mm-hmm.
But to get home, I mean, I think that window can go past Milwaukee. Again, depending on what it looks like the plane's going to take.
Yeah.
If you're delayed another night, as someone who loves to drive through the night, I'm saying, get me the car. I'll be in Buffalo before the sun comes up.
Yeah. Well, hey, what could it be for you? 803-0930. We'll be back here after the break. B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN. I'm reading through people's travel nightmares that they've been texting into us, 803-0930, and it's just... It makes me feel better about like the bad trips I've had just in the past month because, man, some of these stories are just brutal. I mean, brutal. Trying to get out, you know, being delayed over for days and days. You know, some people texting and like listening to your show right now is getting me very nervous about flying again because of all. I am nervous about checking bags now. We talked about this after the Southwest thing. Almost a year ago, was it about this time last year? And I think my reaction was like, when do they ever lose a bag?
So,
but, and I still don't, you know, they still are very good with bags. They don't lose them.
And it's free.
On some airlines.
On Southwest.
Yeah.
On South, yeah.
But.
And soon to be JetBlue.
My thing now with the bags is, so many flights are switched around. I'm not worried that they're going to lose it. I'm worried that I'm not going to end up where the bag ends up.
So that's a great point, because flying out, the last time I flew out on Southwest, back on JetBlue. So on Southwest, I was by myself, right? My wife was already out in L.A. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to check. These are my first two bags are free. I'm going to check my bags. Have no worries. Brian, let me tell you, that backfired, because I had worries. The entire time I was on the flight, I was worried about how long is it going to take my bag to get there? Is my bag going to L.A.? Does it get stuck in Chicago? I would have been better off just bringing the bag with me, because I spent the entire two flights just worried about my bag actually getting to the final destination because of all the horror stories that you hear.
I got one of those like backpack suitcase thingies where it's a backpack, but it like opens up totally like a book.
That's
and you
cool.
put everything in there. Worth it for me to have on this last trip. And I'm like packing light. Next one I take, though, you can't put a suit in there.
That's the problem.
I'm just going to wear the suit down.
Yeah, because you don't get any drinks on the plane, so you'll be fine.
You're worried about spilling?
Oh, of course I am.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to worry
about
that.
You know, I never wear, I always wear, dark shirts. I never wear a white shirt because I'm scared that, 6 in the morning, I'm going to spill a monster all over me. Because you know what? I usually do. If I'm so nervous about it, I will spill. There's no way I could wear a suit on the plane. I would never be comfortable.
This person texting in on 8030930, someone saying they were returning from a conference in Las Vegas, late evening direct flight, which was delayed because of rain, said when they arrived at the Buffalo airport, we had to wait nearly 2 hours for the airline to get a crew to receive the plane at the gate because they sent everyone home. Now, this is where it's like, all right, sure, you may never be able to fly again, but you got to take matters into your own hands and use that exit row. We're here. We're at our destination, but you're waiting 2 hours because there's no one that you open that door, let out that slide, and go down. See ya. I'm walking to my car from here, right? I mean, that's insane. That would drive me up a wall more than I think anything else. But travel nightmares, some people still dealing with it. Delta Airlines still not back to normal after last Friday.
I mean, it is funny to think, and reading some of these texts, Brian, that there are people listening to us who just got over the nightmare, or there's one texter that is still in the middle of the nightmare while listening to us and finally going to hopefully leave everything with what you said, a different airline this afternoon. But it's interesting how many people this has affected. And isn't it ask questions about Delta? I don't want to focus too much in on Delta, but why are they the one airline?
Yeah, what are you doing?
American Airlines is the big one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you can say, well, we're the biggest. Well, that's not it. What happened that they are still having the issues? And I know in New York State, it's affecting the Albany airport more than any of the other airports in New York State with the Delta issue. So it's funny. I'm sure we'll get the answers how Delta is the one that's left with all the problems.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Couldn't you? All right, we're not. It's going to take days to get this back up. I guess everyone's getting a paper ticket.
Yeah.
Right. Wouldn't that be the normal?
Let's go back to paper tickets.
Yeah. This never happened with the paper tickets. But
I actually still use paper tickets. I'll go and I'll go to the little kiosk. I like to have my ticket in my pocket. Here you go.
I do that sometimes too, just to, I have it. But then now they switch you so many times, what your gate is, what your seat is.
Eventually you have to pull the app out.
Yeah. I'll get the paper ticket and end up using the phone at least half the time that I'm out there. But hey, best to you if you're still in the middle of a travel nightmare. Although if you're flying home to Buffalo, right, this is the other part of that just kills you. It's never a straight, hey, not going to happen today.
Oh.
Earliest might be, tomorrow afternoon or something. It's never a straight like that. It's always we push it back an hour.
Right. Yep.
It's going to be another hour.
We'll let you know.
Looks like it'll be another hour. Oh, we delayed it 30 minutes. It's going to be another hour. And it's just that for eternity that keeps you from, you reach a point, had I known, I actually could have been home already. I would have did the car. I would have done something else.
So this happened years ago. I was visiting my grandmother in Richmond and flying back. And, it's one of those things because nothing can be easy anymore. Richmond to Charlotte, Charlotte to Buffalo, right? Because they couldn't do the Charlotte to Richmond or the Richmond to Buffalo flight anymore. So now you got to fly to the hub to get home. Okay. Mets are playing the Cardinals. I'll never forget. Sitting at the bar and it's time to go. I go up there. They say, oh, sorry, the plane's been delayed. We'll call you when it's ready. Now, Brian, that was 4 in the afternoon. They got to the point where they were giving me this line. We're going to try to get you to Charlotte and then get you home early tomorrow morning, which doesn't make any sense. Just tell me, hey, no flight. I could have called my grandmother.
Yeah.
My grandmother goes to bed a little early, right? So 8:30 rolls. I'm like, well, I don't have a place to stay. So I hope you do get me to Charlotte. 10 o'clock. Airport's empty. Richmond Airport, very much like Buffalo Airport. Empty at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just these people that are trying to get to Charlotte. And they say, yeah, we're not going to get you to Charlotte tonight. Here's a hotel voucher and a food credit. I'm thinking, if you don't just told me 5 hours earlier, I could have gone back to my grandmother's. You know, I could have spent more time here. Instead, I'm at a hotel and with my food voucher. And, of course, they had to put you on the very first flight they can the next day. So it's 10 o'clock, and I got to be back at TSA at 4 to get this 5:50 flight.
It's like, take this DiGiorno pizza they have behind, stick it in that microwave, go to bed, and we'll see you in an hour.
Pretty much what I did. Pretty much. I mean, and I had to leave the hotel. And, you know, this is what upsets me. I had to leave the hotel before the free breakfast. I had to be on the shuttle at 4:30 to get through security.
That happened to me this past weekend. Had to leave before the free breakfast to get that early flight that didn't end up leaving for 4 hours after it was supposed to leave.
It's even worse.
I could have ate a waffle.
Yes. Waffle or...
I could have at least had a waffle.
I have noticed at the free breakfast, the biscuits and gravy are becoming more of a staple. Hampton Inn has it. Now,
really?
Now the Holiday Inn Express. I've stayed at 2 Holiday Inn Express on both sides of the country. One in Fullerton, California. One in Winchester, Virginia. Guess what, Brian? They both had biscuits and gravy.
That's nice. That's not my thing.
Nice canned gravy, a warm biscuit. Let's go.
No, that's not my... Do you have like a go-to breakfast? Not just like the hotel breakfast, but like a... top breakfast, like you're making a breakfast or you're going out to eat for breakfast. Is there like a this is breakfast, this is my favorite breakfast?
I have two. I'm very simple. I like eggs, bacon, some kind of hash potato thing, not hash browns, but you know what I mean, like a home fries type thing. Cracker Barrel, pretty much the sampler breakfast at Cracker Barrel, or some kind of like chicken feta cheese omelet with home fries. Every time, like from a diner.
Okay. If I'm going out somewhere or if I'm making it myself, just the bacon pancakes, like that combo.
Yeah.
Perfect for me.
I do. If I'm in the mood for pancakes, I can eat pancakes, but 95% of the time in the morning when I have time to make a breakfast, I'm not in the mood for pancakes.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, every week, pancakes. Bacon. You make them in the bacon grease. Make all the bacon first. You make the pancake in the bacon grease.
I like to make my eggs in the bacon grease.
Oh, it is. It's the best. That's what I go for. I like a waffle, but there's good and bad waffles.
Yeah. I like a good Waffle House waffle with some chocolate chips on it.
I like those are, they're okay. I like deep creviced Belgian waffle.
Oh, you like the big one with some whipped cream on top?
No, just syrup.
Yeah.
That's fine. Big, but like big divots in the waffle. That to me is what makes the waffle the waffle. That's what I like.
If you told me, hey, splurge for breakfast, like bacon, eggs, home fries, toast, I'm very simple. Like that would, I could have that every day. I had an English breakfast when I was out in California at an English pub. Man, that's not what they eat every morning, right? That's like a specialty because the English breakfast is loaded.
I would assume that's not what you're making every morning.
Okay. I mean, beans, fried toast, some potato product, bangers, bacon. I mean, it was the plate almost, you know, it took up 2 spots on the table.
I think they're just like us. Like it's Pop-Tart is probably the most popular breakfast.
So.
Walking out the door, something like that. I don't mind a cereal. You got good cereal at the, Continental Breakfast. I'll take that over a lot of the other stuff.
But they don't have dairy-free milk, and I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah, I know.
I hate to be that guy. But you know what? I mean, there are some mornings, Brian, I wake up, and if you gave me a Nutri-Grain bar, that would be enough. Like, I'm not the kind of person who wakes up hungry.
Oh, me either. I don't. I eat a cup of yogurt in here. Yeah. It's like the only thing I eat until past noon.
Yeah,
most days.
I had two hard-boiled eggs this morning. That'll get me to lunch.
Not only that, but I still love. You want to open it up for breakfast? All right, we're doing breakfast, and then don't expect me to do much the rest of the day.
No, exactly.
I'm weighed down by breakfast.
I had a crab cake eggs Benedict Friday for breakfast, Brian. It was delicious, but I didn't have to eat again till dinner. Like, that was so much food and so heavy, like you said, I was good till dinner. Like, that was delicious, but I could not do that every day for breakfast.
Yeah, no kidding. 803-0930, a lot more of the, travel nightmare things. Someone on the text board, my last two flights this year, 2 hours for check luggage to come down to the baggage pickup with the 9 p.m. arrival, midnight home. Carry on for the rest of my life for me. I ran into this on my way home, the flight that kept getting delayed, and then I finally ended up making it at home at 2 a.m. Part of that was because of the thing. I carried on my bag, which was fine for the first flight. It was fine for the person who was carrying an identically sized bag who got on the plane next to me. They made me check mine at the gate. So we land after the delay, and instead of getting off, I have to now wait for the bag. Like, it was just one of those things, like, you made me do this, I didn't have to, what's going on?
They brought it up for you, though, right? You didn't have to go to the baggage claim.
No, you had to go to the baggage claim.
Oh, really?
And wait for the bag.
See, I like when you check it at the gate, but when you get off, it's there with the wheelchair and the strollers. Like, okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, they made you go. No. That's ridiculous.
Down to the baggage claim. Today, later today, the U.S. plays soccer, first game of the Olympics. So Olympics are underway today, opening ceremonies Friday.
Always before the opening ceremonies.
You got some good stuff. You got to get those team sports. You need a little break between the action for the team sports. It can take a while to run a whole tournament. You got to get them going.
That's right.
The Olympic Games, Summer Olympic Games. I'm always more of a Winter Olympic person myself.
Yes. 2034. I already told my wife we're going. Let's start saving now.
Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City. Let's start saving now.
I don't know if I necessarily need to go. But I like watching.
I think it's a cool experience. It's a cool experience.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's not that expensive.
Compared to?
I remember my parents telling me it's not that expensive.
Well, I guess you're about to find out. the hockey, always like that. The short track speed skating, the crashes, and everyone's going everywhere.
Yeah.
Some of the jump skiing and, like, all these other events. I was curling. I'll watch some curling.
I do like watching curling.
In the Olympics. I like watching all these things. It always was a little bit better for me than track and field. I never understood how that was the most popular thing in the Olympics. Like, I'm sorry. Watching people run, it doesn't do it for me.
No. Amazing athletes. Right? I don't want to take anything away from them. But I was going through the tennis schedule today. They're all digital only until the gold medal. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm biased. Like, the matches are all digital only. Like, you can only watch them on Peacock. They're not actually on NBC.
Oh, okay.
Because track and field, swimming, gymnastics, all that gets over tennis. And I know I'm biased. I love tennis. But you're telling me You can't find one of the seven stations the Olympics on to put the tennis on? Like, it has to be digital only? I thought that was interesting because, personally, I would think tennis is one of the more... They're playing at Roland Garros. They're playing at one of the four, title spots. I would think that would be... That would get some eyes.
Apparently not.
I must be wrong.
But I'm looking through the list of all the different things that they do have. At this point, I mean, the big one that's getting all the attention is breakdancing.
Like, breaking.
They added breakdancing.
Yeah. I love the logo, by the way.
Breakdancing is an Olympic sport. At this point, everything should be an Olympic sport. They should just keep adding and adding and adding and adding and never take anything away.
Well, they're adding flag football in 28.
And when I heard that, I said, that's ridiculous. But now... Sure. Flag football. What? Two and touch. They should run two separate tournaments. They should have football, flag football, two and touch football. I mean, they should have the first ever 7-year-old Olympic gold medal winner in two-hand touch football because it's an Olympic sport. Why not? Just go at it. They run so many events that you're just like, what? Like, how is this an Olympic sport? The trampoline? You know, come on, the trampoline? I start adding everything. Darts should be an Olympic sport.
And they got rid of baseball and softball, but I agree with you. I think softball never should have left. I don't know why they have to be one for the other. Softball never should have left. I do agree with what you said earlier today, Brian, that if they're going to put baseball in the Olympics, then get rid of the All-Star Game. I think the All-Star Game has become like award shows. Get rid of the All-Star Game and have the MLB take off for the Olympics. Because without the best players in the world, and they are the best players in the world, I don't see the point of having baseball in the Olympics.
Yeah, so we got the rock climbing is an Olympic sport. Skateboarding is an Olympic sport. I might actually watch some of that. That sounds pretty cool.
Three-on-three basketball.
Right, basketball is an Olympic sport, but that's not all. It's three-on-three basketball now is an Olympic sport, too. Just start throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. If archery can be an Olympic sport, then darts should be an Olympic sport because it's basically the same thing.
But you know what the funny thing about all this is, like the archery, the equestrian, like all that stuff that you only see at the Olympics, it's all done after the first weekend. You know what I mean? Like the triathlon, did they get rid of speed walking? They did.
Okay. They did?
They did. There's no more speed walking.
That's the only race event that I like watching. No, I'm dead serious. Have you watched the speed walking before?
Yes, of course.
It's the only entertaining race that they run. I'm sorry. Marathon, I respect the heck out of whoever does that because it's very tough. That's like crazy to me to run all that distance. Great job. I don't want to... Oh, my goodness. If I'm watching a marathon on TV, check my pulse. And even like some of the mile run, like that's all right. It's kind of interesting. That's fine. The sprints, like I get it. You run fast. Somebody wins. I don't know who any of these people are. That's fine. The race walking, Joe, that was entertainment. These guys.
I lied.
It's
technically track and field. So, yes, it's
okay.
Well, they have triathlon is something different. I thought.
All right. All right, we'll take this as watch the race walking in the Olympics. These guys are just swinging their hips. And they got their arms going, one foot on the floor at all times.
Okay, that's the rule?
Yes.
Okay.
You can't put yourself in the air. That's how you maintain a walk. They are whipping along faster than any lady you've seen at the Boulevard Mall at 6 a.m. And there's like crashes in race walking.
I've never seen the crashes.
It's a pile up like you see in some of these cycling events that, you know, sometimes just someone will throw like a hip check and they'll throw the whole thing. You'll have like a calamity of legs and arms all over the place. It's the most entertaining race.
I think this sounds very entertaining. I've never heard of this. The modern pentathlon. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's on the sheet.
I couldn't name what's in the regular pentathlon.
So this, the modern one.
What's in the regular one? You got to start there. Because we have to.
I only see modern.
Oh, I don't only done modern.
Yeah, I don't see the old school. But here's the format: fencing. So round one, you have to go fencing, which cool. Then you have to riding. Athletes attempt a show jumping course with 12 obstacles.
You make a TikTok video. That's number three. It's modern.
Swimming, fencing bonus round. And then a combined
that
running
count. You can't do the same thing twice and be like, "Oh, it's a bonus." Get this out of here. It's five different things.
But you might beat me in the first fencing. But after you ride a horse for 12 obstacles and swim 200 meters,
it should be jousting.
You gotta fence me again. Then a combined running and shooting course to finish the pentathlon.
This doesn't sound modern at all. This is like,
well, it's been part. It's been part of the Olympic sports since 1912.
Yeah,
but
Wyatt,
I don't remember
Wyatt
ever seeing
thinks
this.
It's modern. That's riding and shooting. I don't know if that's modern at all. Someone said dodgeball should be it. I would totally agree.
Yes.
Mini golf, I think, should be an Olympic sport as well.
I don't disagree.
Anything as disappointing as fencing, Joe? You turn on TV, you know, you're a little kid, and you're like, all right, finally, I'm going to watch a sword fight. This is sweet for an Olympic medal, a sword fight. And then, you know, they're ready. And they go at it, and then, like a buzzer rings. What happened? what happened? And then they show a slow motion replay. I still don't know what happened. It's the most disappointing thing I've ever watched on TV. Anyways, it starts today. some of the events. Go and watch. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow when we come back.
Yes, David is next. And by the way, to the texter, the Mets may have walked Aaron Judge, but they didn't in the ninth inning. They struck him out looking. We'll talk to you tomorrow on WBEN.